League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome into Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. They are at Polillo and at JoshJordan975 on X. And in between our podcast episodes here, you can read their blogs covering Houston pro sports over on our flagship site, sportsmap.com. On today's episode, Astros handle business in La La Land, including a historic blowout and their first sweep in Dodger Stadium since 2008. We'll talk about the implications of this incredible run Houston's on, the All-Star balloting, and some returning familiar faces, how Hershiser's oral remarks restoked a firestorm online. And speaking of comments, legend says John Smoltz is still talking about Shohei Ohtani. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. I said before the trip to LA that, you know, given the depth challenges and how the rotation set up, could we really tell anything from this series? Charlie, you said, not anything more than you could tell from any three-game series during the season. But this series really seemed to have a different feeling starting from the onset, from that colossal blowout. Before we get into the big picture, larger implications of this run, let's first start with your thoughts from the LA series.
Well, we're an Astros fan, it's just a blast, because this is one of the more magnificent runs now of this length in franchise history. But distill it to the three-game series. It was smoking the Dodgers in L.A., and they can boo and hiss all they want. Apparently they're not familiar with the idea of poking the bear. You mentioned the 18-1 all-time level blowout. You know, 12-1, 18-1, 30-1, whatever. It's just a lopsided game. But the Astros follow that up by scoring six runs Saturday and then five runs Sunday. Not one-run win in the series. Right now, 29-10 over the last 39 since they were 26-25. Well, for the bulk of the run, they were grinding out wins and eking out wins and going more than a month without losing a one-run game, but playing a bunch of them and winning some extra inning games. Here, it was margin of error included in all three. The narrowest game of the three was the 6-4 game on Saturday with 5-1 and 18-1 bracketing that. Look, they're getting contributions in individual games from the Cooper Hummels and Zach Shorts of the world. And Gusto goes six solid innings on Sunday. When it's all rolling, it's all rolling. And it speaks to how within a 162-game season, it stretches, not a series, not a week, but a stretch that has some heft that can define the season, right? The Astros were a colossally mediocre team, 26-25, for a longer chunk of season than they've been awesome now, right? 51 games of 39 games of, oh my God! But they've been so brilliant over this stretch that it has overpowered the 26-25 window, a la going back to when this team first emerged as a juggernaut in 2017, a 74-game window midseason. That squad went 37-37, but they exploded from the gate at 42-16 and then finished down the stretch after the Verlander acquisition by going 22-8. Well, 29-10 is almost a quarter of the season, and it now has them on pace that if they play just 500 ball the rest of the way, they win 91 games, which likely wins this division. It absolutely, at minimum now, gets them in the playoffs. But go higher, the math breaks down simply on this. 90 games complete, 72 to go. That's 5/9 of the season. So we can think of the season in one game form as going into the top of the sixth inning. I would say in terms of winning the division, the Astros lead the game like 5-1. To make the playoffs, now 9.5 games ahead of a team that first misses the playoffs, the fourth wild card spot, which does not exist, right? They lead that game like 7-1. So they're enjoying laughers. Nothing's quite guaranteed. But for the early stages of July, it's pretty close to it to play postseason baseball for a 9th consecutive season.
For me, my big takeaways from the series was a lot of more of the same dominant pitching. You hold the Dodgers to 6 runs for the entire series. 2 of the games, you don't let up more than 1 run. It's just incredible. And I think I'd like to highlight McCullers. It was really big after that absolutely dreadful start he had at Daikin Park just about a week ago. He comes in and is really good against the Dodgers. He gives up that one solo home run, gives you 6 innings. I'm not expecting the world from McCullers, but you need him to at least be somebody you can run out there every 5 days, at least right now with the depth of the pitching staff, so that McCullers can actually be somebody that can go get you a win. I think that's really big for the Astros. He did it there. He took a lot of heat for that last start. Was it against the Cubs where he just got creamed? And he was much, much better against the Dodgers. So that was a big one for me. And then just Altuve and Walker going off, just incredible. Maybe this is that kickstart with Walker that we've been waiting for. He goes to a ballpark that he traditionally is very good at. He does it again. Maybe this is what he needs, because both of those guys, Altuve and Walker, had 6 hits in the series, 3 bombs from Altuve, 2 from Walker, 7 RBI from Altuve, 6 from Walker. Just really, really great there. Altuve only struck out 1 time the entire series, so he's really feeling it. He's seeing the ball well right now. So for me, that's how they did this, and it feels like something that I think they can keep it going. I really do.
Well, look, 2 weeks ago we talked about how they were facing 3 first-place teams, all 3 National League division leaders, with the Rockies mixed in. How'd they lose a game to the freaking Rockies? They sweep the Phillies 2 out of 3 from the Cubs and then go smack down the Dodgers in L.A. So just within this stretch, that's 10-2 baseball. But then again, going larger, 29-10. And X wins and 10 losses, I always hearken back to 2004 when the Astros were 56-60. At the trade deadline, and the rage at the time was, trade Kent, trade Beltran, you're not making the playoffs, get what you can for the pending free agents. And the Astros did not cash in and went 36-10 the rest of the way when Phil Garner took over from Jimmy Williams managing at the All-Star break. They actually started slowly under Garner, but a 36-10 finish. Well, if you want to go for the gusto, the Astros now get the Guardians, who come to town on a 10-game losing streak. And then the feeble-hitting Texas Rangers, who are still really pitching. But, you know, if the Astros run the week, that would be 35-10 going into the All-Star break.
You know, circling back to Josh's comments on McCullers, I said last episode how Lance seems to exist in one of 3 states. He's either having a good game, getting completely blown up, or being injured. And in L.A., we saw the good version of McCullers. You know, and speaking of kind of how this reshapes some of our expectations for these guys, this larger run, but especially the road trip, is starting to shift some narratives, I think, around a couple of guys in particular. And Josh, you highlighted it. Christian Walker, who has been battling it all season, goes 12-27 on the roadie. Altuve, who has always been a streaky hitter, but has seen some really ugly valleys this season, goes 10-24. Houston enters the Guardian Series 20 games above 500 now, with the 3rd best record in MLB, 2nd in the AL. We've seen some unlikely heroes step up, and quite frankly, that has to be the case given the amount of winning combined with the ever-growing IL list. We'll see what comes of this calf tightness from Jake Myers. Obviously, Cam Smith's rookie exploits, well-documented, but now we've seen a pair of grand slams from Caratini on this trip. Charlie, you mentioned Cooper Hummel. We've seen big hits from him this season and this series. Zach Schwartz also puts his mark on the series in L.A. After Taylor Trammell made that big catch in center in the 8th, Blummer commented during the broadcast how it's incredible that it's just seemingly been every time they've needed the next man up, that person's had the answer. So my question is, how do you think this run shifts the conversation around Altuve and Walker specifically, and then the expectations as a whole for the team and their ceiling this season?
I thought it was great. You're right. Altuve has been even more streaky, it seems, this year. I mean, when he's on fire, but when it's not clicking, he is really scuffling and chasing some bad pitches. So hopefully this is something that can get him back on the right track and we mentioned with Christian Walker, they need him to give them something in the middle of the order. So maybe they unlock something. But I do think that they can kind of keep this going. There's just something about this team. There's just gelling. You know it when you see it. And we're seeing it just on a daily basis right now. And we've known the Astros have been really good on, you know, at home this year. But it was great to see them go on the road and take care of business against the Dodgers and show everybody like, no, they can go on the road and do this too to some of the best teams in baseball. So I think it's sustainable. It's really interesting with the offense where we've been talking all year because they've been kind of middle of the pack on offense. If they could just kind of get top 10 on offense, well, lo and behold, here we are early June. They're eighth in OPS in baseball right now. So here they have. They slid into the top 10 with offense. And it's interesting with their run scored this year. It's still not great where they are right now. But if you look over the past 30 days, now they're third in runs. They're fifth in RBIs over the last 30 days. So as they keep getting better as the season's going along, we're seeing in those categories like runs and RBIs, they're starting to get in the top 10, top five. So you put this dominant pitching with the top 10 offense, man, look out.
In terms of expectations, I think it's about who's doing the expecting. It's not all that long ago that a fair number of people and, you know, fans for a reason get too high in good times, get too low when it's not going well. But it's over. The run is dead. Dana Brown don't know what he's doing. Joe Espot is a fool. The talent drain, the sink is now empty. Baseball's the long game, right? The expectations a month, 2 months ago, especially within the American League West, were still get to the playoffs. And if you get to the playoffs and you have an elite 1-2 pitching punch atop your rotation and the best back end of the bullpen 1-2 in the game, if you get into the tournament, you can win the World Series. So I don't think in terms of expectations, that has changed. Now, the only way the Astros miss the playoffs is if they really falter badly. Well, there's no reason to expect that. I mean, stuff happens. But 20 games over 500, they have now given themselves quite a bit of padding that even if they fall, they can land on their tushy and get up. It's not like there's going to be automatic fractures in there. So, you know, but 29-10, brilliant stretch. Well, the Yankees had that earlier this season. They've now had 2 6-game losing streaks within the last 3.5 weeks. This Astros team, while mediocre, because you had Hunter Brown and once Framber Valdez warmed up, this team's been immune to the deep valley losing streak. They still haven't lost more than 3 in a row to this point in the season. And as long as Brown and Valdez stay healthy, maybe they lose 4 in a row, 5 in a row at some point. But they have 2 stoppers, right? And the stopper is the guy that if you're bleeding a little bit, all right, that tourniquet gets applied quickly. And the Astros have that. And there's still the specter looming for opponents. The, I don't want to call it dream for the Astros, of 44 joining the party at some point. Though I don't think it'll be until closer to August at this point. But if you add Yordan Alvarez, and even if Walker and Yiner level off at a place where, all right, they're still not meeting preseason expectations, but they're not stinking, and they're batting 5th, 6th, 7th in the lineup, then you're really getting that depth, which bolsters the lineup so much. And you made mention of it, Brandon. Cross the fingers on Jake Meyers, the anchor of the defense in the outfield, still hitting over 300, on base still well over 350. Bless Taylor Trammell's heart and anyone else who they'd stick in there in the outfield. They do not have a worthy replacement for Jake Meyers.
The reason why I bring this up was because I asked you guys several episodes ago, weeks ago, when Houston was just hovering around 500. You know, the team's motto is built for this, but I said built for what? Because at the time it was really hard to see like what they were built for. But I do think it's not just about what they did in LA. LA is just the exclamation point to this larger run that they've been on and doing it on the national stage. I mean, we know how these nationally televised games can go. And to make that sort of statement on the national stage, I think raises the awareness of Houston now. And I think if they weren't, and I think there was plenty of reason why they maybe shouldn't have been up to this point, but I think now they're on the tips of everyone's tongue nationally as a real bona fide contender for the season. And it's really hard to put your finger on what allows this team to keep the train rolling, even with the well-documented talent attrition, but also offsetting the effects of the injury bug, as you talked about, Charlie. Speaking of talent, I want to touch on all-star voting as we got the results from the players' ballot on Sunday. Hunter Brown, Jeremy Pena, and Josh Hader all make the team. Jake Myers snubbed. I'll say snub. I've seen, heard a lot of unhappy noise, we'll call it that, not just from Houston fans, but also just in general about some of the snubs in the big picture. Do you guys have any reactions first to the balloting and who got in for Houston, who hasn't gotten into this point? And do you think there needs to be some adjustments on how guys get in, or is the arguments the point of the balloting process?
It's good for baseball to stimulate conversation. I have no problem with the process. It's not perfect. It never will be. But you know what? Once they got rid of the stupidity of deciding home field advantage in the World Series on the outcome of the All-Star game, do whatever you want. And the fans, it's a more sophisticated era. Now, nonsense can happen sometimes in balloting. Javi Baez getting an outfield starting spot in the American League, an example this year, even though he's revived his career. But look, it's the players who voted Alex Bregman an All-Star reserve over Isak Paredes. I will say, it's not as ridiculous as it seems on face, because Bregman was spectacular with his time for the Red Sox. But you don't get credit for what you were on pace to be doing or what you might have done if you'd stayed healthy. Paredes has played 35 more games than Bregman. You know, he only has 3 more extra base hits. That's how fantastic Bregman was. But Paredes has more of the counting numbers, RBI, runs scored. Attendance is part of the grade. And Bregman's not going to be healthy enough anyway. So I presume Paredes was next on the player's ballot, and he will be added to the All-Star game as the backup to Jose Ramirez at third base. Obviously, Hunter Brown, completely worthy. Jeremy Pena, same. And Josh Hader, same. Framber Valdez, All-Star worthy, but it is a numbers game, right? It's either 8 or 9 starting pitchers for each league. Well, almost every starting pitcher added to the American League squad has been better than Framber this season. He's been tremendous over the last month and a half. But Max Fried's been better. Jacob deGrom has been better. Hunter Brown has been better. Chris Bubich has been better. There are a couple of guys who made the team because every team has to have someone. Yusei Kikuchi has a better ERA than Framber Valdez, and the Angels had to have somebody. Shane Smith is not All-Star worthy, but the Wobegon White Sox had to have a representative, and Shane Smith's the best they have. The one guy you can say, hey, Brian Wu of the Mariners, who's basically been as good as Framber. Their numbers are very similar, and he's 8-4 for an inferior Mariners team. Fromber's 10-4. The Astros, generally, I would lean toward the more established guy. It's the 2025 All-Star game, but Framber's gone the last couple of years. But the players voted for Brian Wu over Framber Valdez, so be it. Don't blame the fans. They don't pick pitchers.
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's an exhibition game at the end of the day, and I don't know. I'm not somebody that sets my watch like, oh, I can't wait for the All-Star game to start. It used to mean a lot more when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, it hasn't mattered as much. I'm more just excited for guys like Jeremy Pena. Like, hey, way to go. You're getting your credit. You got in there. You had a hell of a start to the season. I'm happy for Hunter Brown, too. He's just been terrific. He deserves to get to go. And yeah, we'll see if Paredes ends up getting in there, Framber, some other guys. We'll see over the next few days. But either way, I'm cool with it. It's fine. They do the voting, and however it shakes out, it shakes out.
And just to finish off on the American League pitchers relative to Framber, Tarek Skubal, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. Garrett Crochet has been fabulous for the Red Sox. The Astros have a mini decision. I really don't think it's much of a decision. Hunter Brown's pitching Tuesday against the Guardians. He's only made one start this season on 4 days rest. Well, you could go with him Sunday, the last game before the All-Star break. I wouldn't. You're not disqualified from pitching in the All-Star game if you pitch Sunday for a couple of years. If you pitch Sunday, you're ineligible. They replace you. But why pitch Hunter Brown on Sunday against the Rangers? Have him fresh to go an inning. Most guys get one inning and that's it now in the All-Star game. He has the better overall stats than Skubal, but since Skubal was the Cy Young winner last year and has been just dominant for the Tigers, I have no problem if Skubal gets the start over Hunter Brown, but Hunter Brown should be the guy behind him. And then with the All-Star game Tuesday, you can decide which game of the Mariners series. Maybe you give him until Saturday, 3 days off after just one inning in the All-Star game, but have Hunter Brown lined up to go in one of those games in the Seattle series coming out of the All-Star break. And let me just mention Brian Abreu, who's been terrific also. It's just very tough for setup relievers to make the All-Star team unless their numbers are just ungodly, you know, maybe an ERA sub one. But they took three closers, right? Hader, perfect in the save situations. Andres Munoz has been having a monster year for the Mariners to this point. And who, I forget who the third closer that they took.
But,
no snub of Abreu either. Really, it's only a snub if someone was taken who definitely does not belong and it came at your guys' expense.
I agree with Josh. The All-Star game did seem like it used to mean more, but I think maybe that's just because baseball in general doesn't feel like it means as much. And I'm just guessing that is based on the climate of media now and how there's just so many different things to consume now. And so audiences are become smaller and smaller and more niche. And so then it just becomes the big brands. And thankfully, which Houston has been one over this past 8-9 year run. So consider yourself lucky. I consider myself lucky that I get to cover a team that is in one of those perennial contenders. Shifting from All-Star roster to Houston roster, we referenced last episode that three former Houston pitchers had been DFA'd. Well, two-thirds of those pitchers now find their way back into the Astros organization, Taylor Scott and Hector Neris. I'm not surprised to see Neris back. I am a little surprised to see Scott back in the organization. What are your reactions to the reacquisitions, we'll call them? And are you surprised that Whitley so far is the odd man out?
No, because Whitley's never done a damn thing in the major leagues. Scott was probably a flash in the pan. Just wonderful for 4 months last season before fading, and then obviously was no good this year, which got him removed from the roster. Neris looks about done. He wasn't very good when the Astros reacquired him last year. Went to the Cubs. Terrible. Failed there. Braves release him. Angels release him. But what Hector Neris is a good guy. I think he understands where he is at this point in his career. The Latin guys, like, revere him. So to have, in Scott's case, a guy who's at AAA, you know, they run that shuttle. Everyone from Jason Alexander to, hey, Gusto, who's stuck. AJ Blueball had the one start earlier this year. Brandon Walter's stuck. Colt Gordon is stuck. But that if they need a guy on the Sugarland Express, Scott's available in that role. Neris isn't going to be coming in the eighth inning or seventh inning of one-run games unless they've used all the main guys a couple days in a row. But as a 12th, 13th man on the staff, a solid citizen who obviously is very familiar with the clubhouse and vice versa, I think that's all that's about.
I'm more excited about Neris, even though it's just a, why not? Give it a shot. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if anybody could kind of maybe recapture some magic with Neris, it would be the Astros pitching coaches and their system that he's very familiar with. So if there's anything left, maybe they can find it with him. And yeah, we have seen some games recently where they're having to go to guys like Caleb Ort in important innings when they've tried to give Abreu and Hader some rest. And they're winning so many damn games lately that they need guys that can pitch in the seventh, eighth, ninth innings and get them some wins and some outs. So I'd say why not roll the dice on Neris? And he's got that splitter too, so he's got something in his repertoire that a lot of other guys on the staff don't. I know he was pretty good at getting lefties with that pitch back when – you know, he was actually good. So I like it with him. And Charlie's right. He is a clubhouse guy. He's very well liked. And this team looks like they're getting ready to make another deep playoff run. And that's the one thing you can say about Neris. He's got plenty of experience in big moments in the playoffs. So there's really no risk here. So I like the move.
I get that it's about warm bodies and especially guys that are familiar with the system. I'm surprised that Scott's back because Scott lost his position because of performance. He just was not doing well. He performed last season kind of out of his body and then regressed back into the player and the pitcher he had been throughout his career. The only reason I'm surprised about Whitley just a little bit was he was just, it was a matter of they probably would have sent him back had he had options. And it was just, they were out of options on him. So I wondered if maybe they would take the chance of putting him back down in the farm system, working with him a little bit more just because he is younger. I know he hasn't done anything at the major leagues, but part of that's because of how hurt he's been. So I am a little surprised that Taylor gets the nod over Whitley, but I don't think any of them will be consequential when it's all said and done. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, you can contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is also in our description. Now, switching gears, I have to give credit where it's due. The Fox broadcast did not rehash the sign-stealing scandal per se. They alluded to it, but they didn't give us a complete retelling as we're often subjected to when the Dodgers and Astros play on a national broadcast. Of course, if they did bring it up, that would have been a moment in which they weren't talking about Ohtani. We can't have that. They didn't need to, because Oral Hershiser seemed to imply it on the Dodgers broadcast, saying it seemed like Houston knew what was coming. That was enough to light the fire on social media, where the conversation just kind of lives on forever in perpetuity, as some things do on social media. But what did you guys make of Hershiser's comments? And do comments like that take away anything from the against all odds season that Houston's put together?
No. Hershiser's gone down this path before. At this point, I mean, talk about crying over spilt milk. It's just petty and whiny. Frankly, it's pandering to a Dodger audience, right? It's the Dodgers telecast. So it's sub-trivial. It shouldn't picket scabs for any Astros fan. Just laugh it off. Oral, is that the best you got? And so if they started stealing signs in the third inning, then the Dodgers need to tighten up their sign protection game, because Oral didn't note the Astros seem to be picking stuff up until they were battering Dodger pitching brains in.
Yeah, it's just typical at this point. I just expect it from these guys. Any chance they get, they try and bring up old stuff, which they always seem to do. And Charlie's right. He knows his audience. It's low-hanging fruit to make an Astros cheating joke, you know, and to a Dodger audience. That's easy to get a cheap laugh right there, because you know who the people are you're talking to. So I don't think it takes away. If anything, it's just more credit. Like, oh, wow, Astros are so good that they couldn't possibly be playing this well. They must be cheating. That's how good they are. That's how bad they're kicking our butts. So I've just come to get used to it now. Unfortunately, this is going to be the way it is for the foreseeable future. And it doesn't seem to bother Altuve too much. He takes all that and just gives it right back to him. So, hey, you want to keep booing Altuve and keep saying this stuff? Cool. We'll just keep winning series.
I guess part of it's because Houston doesn't face the Dodgers as much as they do the Yankees, but it seems like from the Yankees' perspective, they've kind of been bludgeoned with it, which is the more that you boo Altuve, the more he's going to lay the wood. But it was funny in the comments, a lot of fans from New York's teams, like Yankees and Mets, were like, you guys don't learn. You got to just shut up. He's better when you poke the bear. Obviously, he had an incredible road trip. It wasn't just in LA, but obviously LA was the, as I said before, the exclamation point on everything. But it was incredible to see him do it. It sure does seem like that's a thing that fires him. But regardless of the cause, it was really awesome to see. And yes, I share your sentiment, Josh, which is, I think it's a compliment when you are bludgeoning a team so severely that the only thing that can be an explanation is, well, they have to be cheating because they can't be this good. Final thoughts before we're out the door on this episode, guys.
I'll offer two quickies. No sympathy or pity. This is the big leagues. But the Seattle Mariners didn't give up a run over the weekend. They gained zero ground. They shut out the Pirates 3 games in a row. Now the Mariners rightfully feeling a bit better about themselves again. They're back up to 6 games over 500, but still 7 back of the Astros. But in the American League, there are 6 teams that right now are the good bets to make the playoffs. And a lot can change between first week of July and mapping out the playoff bracket. But the Astros as the 2 seed would be awaiting the winner of Seattle and Toronto for a best-of-5 divisional series. The Blue Jays, the hottest team in baseball, starting the new week via winning streak anyway. And secondly, 2019, the heartbreak for the Astros, losing that 7-game World Series, all 4 home games to the Washington Nationals. Well, here we are, 6 seasons later. The Astros just keep on and keep on and keep on keeping on. The Washington Nationals have not had a winning season since winning that World Series. Their best season since is 71-91. Sunday, they fired their manager, Dave Martinez, and their general manager, Mike Rizzo, who were the 1-2 architects of that Nationals World Series winning team in 2019. So if you're an Astros fan, of course you're still savoring every moment of this run. But remember, nothing lasts forever. So always properly appreciate the length of this one for the Astros.
And I'll go back to the Hector Neris conversation quickly. Caleb Wirt's a guy I'll be looking at here. Is this the roster spot maybe that the Astros are targeting? Maybe they think Neris can give, I mean, Ort has an ERA over 5 this year. So maybe they think that Neris can give them a little bit better than that. And then remember, Sean Dubin still dealing with that forearm strain. That's always a terrifying injury for a pitcher. So Astros looking for those, you know, maybe some better options for those last spots in the bullpen.
I'll go back to Charlie's point. First, amen on the appreciate. We try to remind at least our listenership about appreciating the run that this team is on. But to your point about the Mariners, Charlie, we spoke about how this run has perhaps shifted some expectations for Houston. Well, it has certainly shifted the expectations for the Mariners from being a division contender to a wild card contender at this point. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts on apps like Apple or Spotify, please give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Next scheduled episode drops on Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed to this channel because we also drop emergency episodes as big news breaks. So make sure your notifications are on. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.